There's a Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Ches. We discussed last week at length Bila Hamoves, the significance of the Hei Hayidia of the word Hamoves. There are many opinions as to what this Pasuk means. Does it mean that death will cease to exist, or it only means certain types of death, the type of death which is unnatural due to war, illness, but people will still live? People will still die and die at a ripe old age. In fact, the Gemara, there's a famous Gemara Masechta Pesachim, very apropos for the holiday. Gemara Masechta Pesachim notes that there is a contradiction between this pasuk and a pasuk later on. Later on in Perek Samache, it says ki hanar ben meyos shana yomus, that if a person will die at the age of 100, he will be considered a youth, a nar. And here the Gemara takes to interpret the pasuk not like I taught you last week, that Hamoves with the Hei Hayidia. The Gemara there doesn't seem to say there's any significance in the Hei Hayidia. Hamoves means simply death. Bila Hamoves lanetzach, there will be no such thing as death. People will live forever, whatever that means. And the Gemara therefore takes note that there appears to be a contradiction between this pasuk and the pasuk in Perek Samachay, where there it says that there will be death, however, if a person were to die at the age of 100, they would say a young man. That's a young man. A person would live for hundreds of years. And the Gemara answers that this pasuk refers to Klal Yisrael. Like Klal Yisrael, there will be no death whatsoever, period. And the pasuk in Perek Samachay, which indicates there will be death, lo kasher kan hapasuk shnimsa al hamoves sheyoleim legamri medaber bi Yisrael. This pasuk here that says there's no death refers to Klal Yisrael, but the pasuk there later on in Perek Samachay shemesnabi that there will be death banochem refers to the non-Jews. Okay, so that's another approach. And again, the point I want to make is with this gemara, it's clear as day. The gemara there understands this pasuk literally. There will be no such thing as death. Period. Yeah.
If in that future world,
yeah,
no Yetzer Hara, no Averas, and no violence and so on, then that would eliminate a lot of the causes of death.
Punishment. Unless you say, well, what about the chet of Adam Harisha? The only reason why we're still here is, I mean, the Gemara talks...
One has to.
Has to, right. So what does that mean exactly? I mean, okay, I know these things are very mysterious. Obviously, we don't know what these things mean. Okay, but this is very... This is just something to keep in mind, these two approaches to the pasuk, and to take note that you hear this pasuk, unfortunately, we hear this pasuk, is there significance in the Hei Hayidia of Hamoves Lenetzach. And again, we discuss also Bila. What is Bila? Bila can completely change the interpretation of the pasuk. Does Bila mean to destroy, to obliterate? Or does Bila mean to uncover, which means it's there, it's just going to be exposed? And so the different interpretations, what Bila, and that will of course change the pasuk. Now we'll go to the next part of the pasuk, which is also very interesting. Umocha Hashem Elokim. Hashem will erase. It's also a very interesting word to that the Navi chose. Umocha Hashem Elokim. Dima means tears. Me'al call upon him from all faces. V'cherpas amo yosir. Hashem will remove the shame of his nation. Me'al kol aretz ki Hashem diber, because Hashem has spoken. This will certainly come to you because Hashem has spoken. Now what does this mean? Hashem will remove the dima me'al kol upon him. So it simply means tears of pain. Since this is a continuation of the previous expression which discussed death, and death is a cause of sorrow, of tsar, which brings tears to a person, those tears will cease to exist. However, many darshanim take this pasuk a little different. They take note of the word me'al kol upon him, upon all faces. And they explain that people cry at times of joy as well. Go to a simcha, go to a wedding, it's not uncommon to see the chassan, the kala, the parents of the chassan, the kala, the grandparents, to see them crying. And here the pasuk seems to say, according to the darshanim, Hashem will remove dima me'al kol upon him, even people who cry from joy. So what does that mean? So there are a lot of psychologists that have written doctorates on this pasuk. I'm not joking. What this means. So there are different approaches. Some want to say, I saw this in different forms. Let me just try to speak out. It'll come to memory. That when a person cries at a time of joy, why are you crying? Is it because joy leads to crying? Is that natural? So some want to say no. That when a person cries from simcha, it triggers memories of tsar. Extremes are very much related. There's extreme cold and extreme heat. If you put a person, you would suddenly thrust them into an environment where it's extremely hot or extremely cold, it's very hard, at least in the beginning, to tell is it cold or hot. When you're in extreme environment, you become frozen, either from heat or from cold. You don't right away. It takes time to set it. Oh wait, it's cold. It's not hot, or it's hot. It's not cold. When a person is at a highly charged emotional state, that can be either from tsar or from joy. According to some opinions, again, this is controversial. Not everyone agrees, but someone who learned this in Pshat in the Pasek, when a person experiences, the only time a person would cry was only from pain. A person would never cry from true joy, only cry from pain. But when a person in life comes to a state of joy, of a highly charged time of simcha, it triggers memories of other intense emotional feelings, which are of tsar. And the tears are really tears of pain. It's a very interesting idea. This is studied by psychologists, secular, non-Jewish psychologists. Why do people cry when they experience extreme joy? It triggers memories of extreme pain, and that's what brings out tears. Therefore, if you live in a world where there's no such thing as tsar, as intense feelings of pain, there's no death, there's no suffering, and then a person experiences joy, he accomplishes something that is incredible, he sees his grandchildren, great-grandchildren get married, or even himself, whatever the case is, he's not going to cry. Because there's no trigger to bring out the tears, the contrast of tears of pain. And it's not so far-fetched, because many times you ask people why they're crying, because they say, because when I'm crying, I remember them, my father, my mother, we talk about to the parents of Chosn Kala, they only wish that their parents were there, and so on and so forth. So it's not so far-fetched. This idea was taken to an extreme that people don't even realize subconsciously. The reason why you're crying is because you're really calling to memory tears of pain. Therefore, if there is no tsar, there will not be any tears at a time of simcha. And that's what the pasuk says, Hashem will remove mocha shem lokim dima me'al kol panim, from the face of even those that experience joy. Because if there's no tsar, then the tear, there's no trigger. So even when you're rejoicing, there will not be any tears. That's one approach. That's a more secular approach. Rav Shimon Schwab, I swear, he says something very similar, but a little bit different. He explains that when a person today experiences, there are two types of joy. There's pure joy, and there's joy that's just relief. That person lives a life of misery, and when he experiences simcha, it's just a diversion from misery. Everything is no good, the economy is no good, there's no parnassus, there's no this, there's no that. And then a person goes to a simcha also. For a few moments, you're able to suppress the pain of life. It's an escape. It's an escape from the world of reality to go to a simcha and to rejoice until the next day you go back to the world of reality and go back to your misery. Being that Klal Yisrael, we live in Golus, and we're basically, whether we realize it or not, we are living in a state of misery and tsar. So all joy that we experience in this world is just a joy that is a temporary escape and suppression of the misery that we have. That type of simcha is a simcha which is built upon tsar, brings tears. But when you experience joy in its purest form, which is not just an escape from the world, the misery of reality, that type of joy does not bring tears. So it's a similar idea. It's similar, it's not exactly the same, but that explains why it says in the pasuk, me'al kol panim, all faces, even those that experience joy. And then the pasuk includes again, v'cherpas ha'shamo yos, Hashem will remove the shame of his nation, me'al kol aretz, from upon the face of the entire earth. Now the reason the explanation for this is given by the Midrashim, is the reason why we die is because the chet ha'egel, or the chet of Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon, because the chet was meant to live forever. It's only because he ate from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem decreed upon him death, And that is shameful. Every time a person dies, to a certain degree, it is a reminder that Adam HaRishon has sinned. And we all come from Adam HaRishon. Or you can go further, the Midrash really focus on Dechei To'egel, Mat Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to a very high spiritual state, which is beyond our understanding, where death was removed from Klal Yisrael. It's hard for us to understand exactly what that means, but that's what Chazal say. And then due to Dechei To'egel, death was brought back upon, the luchos was shattered, we went back to our original state, our mortality was restored, like Adam HaRishon, and that is a shame, and therefore we die. Every time that we experience in this world death, this is a reminder of our sin, the chei to'egel, or going back to Adam HaRishon. At this point in time where it says, Ubila hamoves lonetzach, where death has come to end, no longer do we experience the shame of rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Eitz Hadas and through the Eitz Hadas and the Chei To'egel. And that's why the pasuk concludes, V'cherpas amo yosir, the shame of his people will be removed when they will no longer have a reminder of their sins. Another interpretation, which I think is the Peshutah Mikra of the Cherpas Amo Yosir, means that no one will be living in Chutz Liaretz. Everyone in Klal Yisrael will come to Eretz Yisrael. This that today the Jewish people find themselves in a state of shame is because we're foreigners. We are living in Chutz Liaretz. We are under the control of a foreign authority. Golos, Shibud Malchios. So they mock us, the world, like we're just immigrants. We're not natives to this country, in any country. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael. You don't belong in, and the nature of a Jew is not to assimilate. We're not going to become part of the culture that we live in. We have our Torah, we have our mitzvahs. We have to be different. So the nations of the world, okay, they're tolerant. Baruch Hashem, you have a medina shel chesed, tolerant. But to a certain degree, they don't like this. You want to live here, you be part of us. You have to assimilate, become one of us. And because we do not, they look down upon us. We are viewed as a shameful nation because we are in exile. So the pasuk here alludes, it's a different theme. It's not really part of the beginning of the pasuk of death, but it alludes to the theme that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will Kibbutz Golios will restore every single member of Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, and no longer will we suffer the shame of Golos. Okay, but Amar Nek, now we go to Simcha. Very good, Simchas Torah. Very good. The Amar Bayoy Mahu, and they you will say the Amar. Amar means they will say, the nation of Klal Yisrael will say, Rashi learns, Bayamahu, Hine Elokeinu Zeh, this is our God, Ki Vinu Lo, we yearned Lo for Him, the Yoshienu, and He will save us. Now just before I conclude the pasuk, I'll just tell you a little drush, Ki Vinu Lo, here the pasuk very clear where it says the word Lo means for Hashem. Just to and the Haggadah, the Rasha, asks the question, says, So the Baal HaGadah says Lochem v'lo lo. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the way everyone interprets this expression is that the Rasha excludes Lefisha Hoisias Atzma Min HaKlol Kofar Be'ikar. The Rasha excludes himself from the Avodah. What are you doing here tonight? I am not part of this. I will not participate. I'm just here to mock you and to observe this ridiculous ceremony. Lochem v'lo lo. But other Farshim say the Bali Musa, a very powerful Musa. Lochem is for you, the low, low, and not for Hashem. The Rasha says, this is really the way you serve Hashem. By eating, by having a meal. It's all Lochem, it's all for your own enjoyment. I don't see here service to Hashem. Lochem v'lo lo to Hashem. Lo is now referring to himself, like in this pasuk. Ze hu hine Elokeinu, ze, this our God, kivinu lo, we yearn lo for Hashem. The Rasha doesn't appreciate that the lochem, this that we enjoy ourselves in this world, we come together with family, food, and all different enjoyments, is all for the purpose to channel the good feeling to serve Hashem. That is the chesaron of the Rasha. The Rasha doesn't want to see, he just wants to see the gashmis. You're enjoying yourself, you're having a good meal, the family's coming together. I don't see anything spiritual about this. And Lufisha Hotzias Atzmo. Atzmo is a euphemism for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, referring back to the word lo, kofar ba'ikar. This in Yadus is kafira. And Yadus, this is the fundamental difference between Yadus and all the religions. That Yadus, the whole tafkid of Yadus is to elevate the Gash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world to take the mundane, to take materialism and use it, elevate it for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the definition of a Rasha, where the Rasha goes off. And again, you see this idea, it's very common. He said over here in this pasuk, Kinei Elokeinu Zekivinu Lo, we yearn for him, the Yoshinu, he will save us in the future tense, Hashem will save us. So it appears in this pasuk, very mystical, where Klal Yisrael is able to point at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're pointing at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're able to see him, it's not yet over. The Yoshinu, we still need salvation. That's what Yoshienu is the future tense. The Yoshienu, he will save us. There's something still that's happening in this world that's dangerous. Ze Hashem, this is Hashem. Notice here we switch from Elokeinu. Elokim is Midas Hadin. Here we go to Ze Hashem Midas Harachamim. Kivinu lo, we yearn for him. Nagilo v'nismecha b'shua, so we rejoice and have joy in his salvation. So there's a lot going on in this pasuk, the different names of the Shparach, the focus on Hinei Elokeinu Zeh, and then it says Zeh Hashem. Twice we mention Kivinu Lo, one in reference to Elokeinu, Midas Hadin, one in reference to Hashem, Midas Harachamim, and Nagila V'nismecha B'shua So. Now, that's also there's some similarity between the Baruch of Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So here also we have Hinei Elokeinu, and then we have Zeh Hashem. So this pasuk, obviously, the simple interpretation of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means HaKadosh Baruch Hu today, who is Elokeinu, Hashem will one day be Echad. In reference to Elokeinu, it's Elokeinu. When we come to Echad, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo. Okay, well, you do see a parallel. I'm not exactly sure how far you can go with that, but you do see a parallel of first Elokeinu, then Zeh Hashem, two different expressions of yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we know that this refers to Simchas Torah. As you mentioned very well, Simchas Torah, this is one of the sources, the Kabbalistic sources, of why we, that the difference between the Hakafos on Simchas Torah and the Hakafos on the 7 days of Sukkot, except for Shabbos, where we go around the Bima with the Lulav and Eshrak. So the 7 days of Sukkot, we put the Sefer Torah is in the center. Sefer Torah is in the center, and we circle the Sefer Torah with the lulav and the dalet minim. So we're focusing that the ikur in our life is the Sefer Torah. On Simchas Torah, the minhag Simchas, which really are modern minhag, how old is Simchas Torah? 300 years. 200 years is not really more than 250 years. It doesn't appear that the minhag Simchas Torah, maybe a little bit more, I'm not exactly sure, but it's definitely like more than 400 years. I don't think it's one. The meaning of Simchas Torah. We don't hold the dalad minim, and instead we take the Sifrei Torah, and we circle an empty bima with the Sifrei Torah. Who is in the center? When you circle, when you make hakafos, you're focusing on something in the center. You're not focusing on the invisible. So the Baalei Kabbalah explained that being that Shmini Atzeres, the last day of Sukkot is Me'ein, it represents Me'ein Olam Haba, and that's the Haftarah of Melchemes, Goy, Gumagog. Everything about Shmini Atzeres represents Yemos HaMashiach, Olam Haba, a world that we are not familiar with, and that's why it's the eighth day. Everything in this world ends with the number 7. We go from 1 through 7 is Teva. 8 is beyond our understanding of this world. What we're really doing is we are reenacting, or we are trying to usher in the era of the fulfillment of this pasuk. The Omar Bayom Ahu, Shmini Atzeres, is an allusion to that day. Just like 8 is Lamala Miderech HaTeva, 8 is what comes after the Shiva Simei Bereish, the 7 days of creation, which represents the totality of the world the way we know it. It will come a point in time of Olam Haba, Yemos HaMashiach. It's the Yom Ahu. That's exactly what we're doing. We take the Sifrei Torah and we walk around an invisible bima, because who's in the center? Hashem is in the center. Hashem is Meloi Chol Eretz Kavodo, Bayom Ahu Hinei Elokeinu Zeh. Hashem is in the center. Kivinula, we've yearned for Him throughout our history. The Yoshienu, He will save us. Ze Hashem, this is Hashem. Kivinula, Nagila, V'nismecha B'Yeshua. So this, according to many, is the essence of Simchas Torah and the essence of what we are doing when we may do hakafos around the invisible bima. Hashem is in the center. Not like the 7 days of Sukkot, where the Sefer Torah is in the center, Hashem is in the center, and we are pointing to the center. Hashem will make a circle, latzadikim, and each one will point. This is my Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this fits perfectly with the theme here of this pasuk test. Okay, now the perek ends. Now this is very, very mysterious. It's not clear what's going on here. These next couple of pasukim, the perek ends by discussing. Okay, we deal with Yimos HaMashiach. We've learned throughout these parakim, up to 25 parakim, about the korban of all the different nations, of the Pelishtim, of, we learned about Moab, about Bavel, and Edom, Fipsukim, Mitzrayim, and Tsar. The Ein Ladav stuff, we learned about the korban. So you would think that by the time we get to here, now we're up to Mashiach, Melchemes, Gog Magog, that's it, right? We're all done. For some reason, it's not clear why the pasuk revisits Moab. Moab is revisited to describe their destruction. And it appears that their destruction, I mean, we mentioned that Bavel's destruction was more than the other nations, because Bavel was the one that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But yet Moab, for some reason, shares, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it in for Moab, the nation of Moab, because it appears they had the most potential for spirituality. We know that Mashiach, David HaMelech, comes from Moab, Rus HaMoaviah. Why is it? It's not. Where does it come from? It comes from Lot. Lot was the nephew of Avraham. We're dealing here with Miyuchasim. We're not dealing here with a simple people. We're dealing here with nephew of Avraham, someone that learned and was protected and was cared for by Avraham, and from him came Moab, and from Moab came Melech HaMoshiach, Rus HaMoaviah. Brucha at biti, the incredible brachos that Boaz bestowed upon Rus HaMoaviah from David HaMelech, and now it's Mashiach. Mashiach is here. David is here, and now Hashem will obliterate, mamish obliterate, the nation of Moab, seemingly because you had so much potential. Why did you waste that potential? We learned in Perek, and Terek was a Terek Tezayin, the description of the of arrogance. No, by no other nation does it say such expressions. We've heard about you, Moab. Gei me'od. Your arrogance is extreme. What's the arrogance about? At this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechin appears, arrogance will be humbled, and that's here how Hashem describes these last few psukim, Kisnuach Yad Hashem Bechor Hazeh. When Hashem will rest His hand on this mountain, on Yerushalayim, then Vinadosh Moav Tachtov, Hashem will thresh. Just like a farmer collects grain from his fields, he spreads the grain in the silo, he brings in the animals, the heavy-duty animals, the oxen, and whatever, and they stamp upon the grain to separate, to crush the kernels, in order that they can separate the kernel, the husk from the kernel, and then they'll winnow this mixture and remove the waste from the product. So Kisanach Yad Hashem Meharzim, when Hashem will rest His hand on this mountain, and I want to go back and explain the connection between Nadosh and the previous pasuk. The Nadosh Moav Tachtav, Moav will be threshed beneath them. In other words, Tachtav can simply mean beneath, either Tachtav beneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will step on them, or beneath Bnei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael will trample upon them. Ki Hidush Maspein Bimo Madmeno, like one threshes. Maspein means straw. Maspein means the straw, which includes everything, the psoiles, the chaff with the kernel. Bimo means in Madmeno, means dung. Madmeno, if we look in the Mitzudos, in Yono Ashba, garbage dump, my doimin al panasa, then this is because they would take the psoiles and mix it in the waste of animals, and they would use this combination for fertilizer. So it seems like they have grain. Now it's not clear what happens to the kernels. I mean, it could be that this is after the kernels already have. It could be that this grain is not going to be used for eating purposes. So they're not concerned about the kernels. They would take the grain, they would put it in a garbage dump, and they would mix in that area excrement from animals. And they would have the animals, then they would bring in heavy-duty animals, and they would stamp upon the waste. To us it seems disgusting, but this is the way it was in ancient times. They would stamp upon the waste and the grain, and they would crush it, and that mixture of waste and crushed grain would be the ideal fertilizer. This is what will come of Moab at the end of days. They're going to be destroyed, but it seems that they're going to be used, not just, it's a destruction, which is a brutal chorbin, but yet we do see there's going to be some productivity, some utility that we will get out of their chorbin, where they'll be used for fertilizer to enhance the world. Then, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Uferas Yodav Bikibur, Hashem will spread out His hands within the nation of Moab, Kaasher Yiforas Ha soche lischos, like a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. Let's go to the pasuk. Vishpil gava. So again, referring to the theme that we mentioned, that we learned in Perek Tezvav, Hashem will humble his arrogance im orvos yadav, with his cunning hands. Arvos, or there are different interpretations. Let's see over here. Arvos moshav arev. Yadav in Yimokam. So this means his hideout. Okay, the way the Mitzvah most some a lot of interpretations, but Ulin Oviyam Ar means Hashem will destroy him on the open, plus all of his secret hiding places. They had safe houses all over the world, Moab. So besides the nation on the map that will be obliterated, the Ma'orev means to lie in ambush, secret places where they lie in ambush and plan Yadav, their plans. Yadav means their hands, which in this context means their hands. The secret safe houses that they have all over the world will be exposed, and these places will be obliterated as well. The public Moav and the secret Moav will be wiped out. How? Hashem will destroy them the same way a swimmer spreads out his hands. When a person swims, you spread out your hands wide in order to use every part, every surface area of your arms to move in the water. So when a person, he walks around in the street or he goes about his daily activities, he does not move his hands that much. His hands move only what's absolutely necessary. But if you want to describe a person using his hands, the maximum possible expression, the maximum possible mobility of your hands, that is a swimmer. And that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will obliterate Moab. Hashem will move his hands back and forth, extend his hands back and forth to obliterate Moab with much motion. Pasuk Yud Beis, Umivtzar, the strongholds, Miskav Choymosecha, the exalted. Miskav means exalted. The first one, Mivtzar, means the strongholds, the protection. The protection of the exalted walls, Choymosecha, of your walls, Heshach. We have this many times. It will humble. Hashem will bend. Hashem will bend these mighty fortresses. His spiel, he will lower. He gia lo'oretz, he will lower to the ground ad afar until the earth. Three expressions. There's Heshach, it's number one. Number two is his spiel. Number three is he gia lo'oretz ad afar. We mentioned, I like that pshat we had last week of one of the, every time you have a list of things, according to one approach, it means stages. Stages. If it turned just once, there's destruction. The Navi would say, there's a bomb, nuclear bomb, finished, over. Whenever you enumerate this repetition, and the words seem to say the same exact thing, there are many interpretations. Heshach, Heshpil, Higiel, Oretz, there are stages. Hashem will, it's going to happen slowly. First will be Heshach, be bent. Then it'll be Heshpil, will get lower. And then there'll come a point where Higia La'aretz Ad Afar will reach the earth until the dust. There'll be nothing left of this nation of Moab. And again, it's difficult. Why at this point in time is Yeshaya coming to focus on the Korban of Moab more than Edom? I mean, we discussed last week in with the Haggadah that who's the last Gaulus? Yishmael. Yishmael. Moab is not even on the radar screen. He's not even on the list. We have the four Golios, which are broken down into eight. And the last two is Edom and Yishmael. Where did Moab ever come into the picture? It was Bavel, the Kastim, Yavon, Modai, Mokdon, and Yavon. Where's Moab? And all of a sudden, Moab is getting such a churban over here. Zeh Elokeinu Kivilo, this is the Spitz. This is the Shemini Atzeres. This is mystical. Elam Haba, and Moab is the one that's going to be obliterated and wiped out because of their extreme arrogance. And Hashem will destroy them the same way one swims. What's the illusion of swimming? So one interpretation is every time we have in Nevi'im Mayim, Hoy Kol Tzomei Luchu Lamayim, that the Mos HaMashiach will be a time of enormous Harbatzas HaTorah. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the enemies are destroyed at a time, this time, it's going to be through Torah. Hashem will extend His hands like a swimmer. What do you mean? Why is Hashem swimming? Because Klal Yisrael is learning Torah. Klal Yisrael is engaged in like today, Baruch Hashem, is an incredible renaissance of Harbatzas Torah, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu joins the Torah Kaviyachol, and he swims in the water, and with his open hands he destroys the enemies of Klal Yisrael, the antithesis of Torah. Just going back, one other interpretation we had before, Dima. U'mocha Hashem Elokim Dima Mi'al Kol Panam. Dima means tears. The Dima in Mishnayis means a mixture. Dema, Demai. Demai is a mixture of Truma and Mechulim, a small amount of... What? Okay, but the Aleph and the Ayin can be into... Is it an Aleph? Okay, but the Aleph and the Ayin, the Farshim say this, so this is not my own word. Demai, but it can be interchanged. The Aleph and the Ayin for the purpose of Jewish many times. I think this is a Medrash. It's a Medrash. So in a Chacham, you write absolutely. The spelling is the Yikra. You have to know the Pshat, the Pshishal Mikra. But many times it'll be Derech Jewish. The Aleph and the Ayin are interchanged for the purposes of Jewish. And the illusion here is that what we suffer from are fakers. They're not fakers. There's just everything today is a mixture. There's good. There's bad. We live in a very complex world where you can't label anyone 100% evil. There's always good in someone. There's always bad. It's hard to have purity of anything today. Everything today is a big mishmash. Yimos HaMashiach will be a tekufa where there'll be purity. There'll be people that are not half there, half there. U'moch Hashem, Hashem will erase dima me'al kol panim. Mixture. People will be 100% good. All of the little bit of evil, the problems where people are anointed to doing things that are not proper, the contradictions in life will be eliminated, and we will have the middle of the cherpas amo yosem yalpnei alkalai. Okay, so that concludes this perek. We'll stop here with the Yeshayah for today.